A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nightside Project. Finish the day happy, happy with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Welcome to The Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Keery here with me. Thanks so much for joining us today. Another episode. Alex, I'm back at home base.
Hey, good for you.
So I did it.
The jet-setting Ethan Millard has finally gotten back to the
I didn't think I'd do any traveling in 2020, and then I did six flights in 6 weeks.
That's pretty cool. I'm, still afraid to do it. And I, honestly, there's this, weird thing, too, where I just assume because I haven't been able to do any for work. I mean, normally at this time I would have gone to a couple of road games or something along the way, or a playoff game here and there.
Or a media event.
Something. And all those things have kind of gone away. And so I just assume that, I don't know, I know there's not a lot of money for it, but you know what? I would start advertising that you actually can fly, and it's not just in emergency situations only. Because I get this idea that the vibe is you can't go anywhere. And I've had to cancel a bunch of trips with my kids and my 12-year-old, who we had a special trip planned out, and he keeps bugging me about where we can go. And I'm like, I honestly don't really know. And I don't know even if we went there, if it would be worth going there. He's like, oh, we should go to New York or something. I'm like, I think if we fly to New York, we get arrested because we're from Utah. I think that's the rule. I don't know what it is.
This is the conversations you got to have with them. Okay, you want to go somewhere? Fine. Do you like wearing the mask in warm weather or cold weather?
Yeah, exactly.
And they kind of let it go from there, you know?
Now, and there's a part of me that goes, look, maybe we should just go to Florida and cash in because they're having people at Disney World. But then I think to myself, no, I'd never be able to get those tickets. I couldn't do that. You know, here's another. Speaking of tickets, I have tickets to the BYU game this weekend.
Oh, cool. Are you going to go?
No. I mean, I usually don't go with the tickets anyway, but my kids have tickets. But it's Halloween. So I bought these thinking, oh, yeah, great. And then I was told in no uncertain terms that Halloween is a no-fly zone for their for me to shoehorn in a BYU football game this weekend.
Oh, so your kids they're saying no to
right,
BYU football.
Right. And so I'm because I go to these games and I work them, I'm not going this weekend because my wife's almost going to have another baby. So I'm not. And I was actually, our last child was born during, I was at a playoff game for the Jazz and I got called. Do you remember this whole thing? I got called. And it was like, hey, I'm headed to the hospital. And I was it wasn't out of state, but I was at the Jazz Golden State Western Conference semifinals game in 2017. And the Jazz were already down in the series 3-0. And they were losing it at the half by, I want to say, 22 points. And I just looked at the guys next to me and said, well, I'm out of here because I had other things to do. And they were like, well, where are you going? I go, oh, my wife's kind of having a baby right now. And they were
what?
I go,
baby,
I know, it's
baby.
Actually perfect timing because I don't want to be at this game anymore. They're like, we're so jealous right now that you get to leave because the Jazz ended up being swept in the series that night. But, no, I don't – here's the weird thing, though. Do I sell those tickets?
Because they're
limited.
Of course you sell them.
Right. Because I spent my money on it.
What I think is interesting, though, is that we found the edge of your kids' BYU fandom.
Oh, I know.
And
it's actually really sad. Yeah. It was really sad. And even my most diehard, it's because they went last week. My two oldest boys went last week. And so, which was fun for them. I took them to the game. I got them into the game. I went upstairs and they were sitting in their seats and I watched them from afar all night. And it was really kind of cute because they were totally socially distant. I mean, the seats were all just kind of spread out. They didn't really have that many people around them. And they sat in their two little chairs,
all
night.
They probably felt pretty grown up to have been not
yes.
be supervised.
They stayed there all night on their own. It was a little bit cool, but they were totally warm. They had blankets and stuff. And they went and they bought their cougar tails at the assigned time when they were supposed to. They came back to their seats. They sat there. They cheered when they were supposed to. It was really good. So
I've never had a cougar tail, but I really want one.
It's a giant friggin' maple bar. So
that's what I know. I know what they are.
I mean, and when I say giant, too, think about maple bars, but they're really wide too. Like they're not just. I noticed that this weekend. My kid brought it out. He goes, "I can't finish this." I go, "Are you kidding?"
They're like,
and he's like, "Look at it." He's like, "Look at this thing," and you can see the ripples of the maple frosting. I mean, I don't want to make people hungry here, but was so much maple frosting on this thing, and I went, "Dang, dude, this is a cougar tail." So
afterwards. Afterwards, did all the fans take off their masks and rush down to the sideline?
No, they did not. But there was a moment.
Like they did in Houston?
I know. There was a moment. I thought about you because they had the student section. They had some select students were able to go.
Okay.
And the students are not family. Some of them might be living in the same dorms or whatever as roommates. But they're there in the student section. And students do not respect social distancing. And they're not really great at the masks.
They're the immortals.
They were pretty good about the masks. I didn't see anybody take a mask off.
That's good.
But what I did see, or what I did hear, was at one point the announcer goes, "We ask you to please respect social distancing, Section 45, please." And everybody knows what Section 45 is, like, and you started to see, and it was like when you tell kids, "Hey, don't do that," and then they take one step back, and then 4 seconds later, they've already inched their way back to that place. And so, well, but the other thing was, it didn't help themselves because Ethan, they did the T-shirt cannon like 10 times. You can't shoot the T-shirt cannon. The very nature of the T-shirt cannon is they shoot it, and people run to where the thing is. Like all gather together. So part of it is Cosmo. Cosmo's a super spreader, man.
Yeah,
he gets people together way too close.
He's going to get arrested.
It's insane.
Well, you know, I think, and I mean, at this point, I think that if you can get people to wear masks, you've kind of done as much as can realistically be done.
Right, yes.
And this is something I've noticed because this is what we do at work, right? And just that simple protocol of keeping things clean, sanitized, and masked up. That's allowed us to continue our business, right? And even grow it, even in this kind of pandemic. And that's what I saw also with the flights. Okay, people are traveling, but just those little things make it possible. Is it foolproof? No. But man, it really opens things up.
Right.
And I think we get a little crazy socially. I think that's where all this is coming
from.
There
certainly has been a lot of that.
But
so.
speaking of getting hungry, though, you mentioned the cougar tail.
I
want to share something with you. So I had these tacos last week,
mm-hmm.
and I never had tacos like this before, okay? And I wasn't sure. They were described a little bit weird. Maybe you may have had tacos like this. I don't get out, you know, quite as much culinarily. But what they did is, so they laid down on the grill a pile of jack cheese, and then they got it crisp on the bottom, right? So it's brown and crispy.
Yeah, I know how that is. I know how that works.
And then they put the ingredients of the taco onto that cheese on the grill.
Yes.
And then they rolled that up and then stuck it in a tortilla.
So that's the thing now. I'll tell you.
Is it? I've never seen that before, and
Ethan,
I was blown away.
I can't wait. You and I need to go hit a place here in Salt Lake. It's called Tapatio. Taco Tapatio, I think.
And that's how they do it?
And they have basically that shell of the crispy cheese that like kind of cakes around the meat, whatever the thing is of it, and then it gets it's folded onto the taco shell as well.
Yeah, I think it was phenomenal. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was so good.
It is good.
And here's something else too. So you know, when Utah was first settled, and we tried to make a territory, we made a territory, right? And do you remember the proposed territory of Deseret? It was enormous.
It was like it was parts of now or what was used to be Mexico too, right?
It stretched all the way to San Diego, and included San Diego. So it included up here. It included all of Utah, a little bit of Idaho, a little bit of nothing in Colorado really. A chunk of Nevada, a chunk of Arizona, and a chunk of Southern California down to San Diego. And
we're just like, yeah, we'll take all this. It's fine.
We got talked out of it. And I think that was a mistake. I think we should have fought for San Diego.
Oh, that's a good place to fight for, bro.
I think it was a mistake that we let go of San Diego as the territory.
Now, that could have been part of what look, people wouldn't make fun of us nearly as much. Could you imagine having the beautiful red rocks of Southern Utah, the amazing snowy peaks with our snow industry.
And then
and
keep going
San
another
Diego?
5 hours.
Oh, my goodness. To be able to say, and this amazing national park down here that is just the beach. Yeah, I'm all for it. Ethan,
I'm surprised.
It's Tacos Tapatio.
Tacos
Tapatio. We've got to go. I'm looking at pictures now, and I want to die.
All right, we'll go. We'll go and get some tacos. Get them takeout. But I don't know why we don't all live in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's because as you said that, a bunch of homeless people said, "Let's go to San Diego, man."
They're there.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they know.
It's a year-round situation of not having to worry about that one thing that you have to worry about here, which is the freaking weather right now, especially.
That's right. And it's not just it's warm in the winter. It's just warm in the summer, too. It's not blazing hot.
No. I did a football camp down there when I was in high school. And I remember looking at the weather. I'd look at the weather like every day. And, you know, it's July, and they go, and my dad would go, "Yeah, but it's San Diego. This is 74, 75 degrees, 78 degrees maybe, even on the hottest days." Here's the problem. When you get inland 900 feet, it goes up a degree for every quarter mile that you go in.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I went,
until you get to Palm Springs.
Well, that's the thing.
Million degrees.
I went to San Diego. So the camp, it was at the San Diego State campus for this football camp. And I go to it, and it was 97 degrees every day.
Wow.
Every day. And I was like, I was lied to. And then the one day they take you to the beach, they go, "Oh, we took a trip to the beach, you know, like as one of the day trip things that we did. And we like played football on the beach and stuff." And it was amazing. And I went, "Oh, you guys tricked us all. Like you sold us this bill of goods. Like, come to San Diego. It's beautiful here. It's 74 every day.
Except
on campus where you're going to melt."
You know what was so cool about San Diego? The weather obviously is phenomenal, but you know what was equally as cool? All the military stuff. There's military stuff everywhere.
Oh yeah.
And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, you do that little boardwalk there, and you see just all the ships lined up in the bay there. Yeah, that's where they do all the SEAL training, I think, too.
Oh yeah, and helicopters and airplanes flying over constantly. I mean, it's just there were just military stuff everywhere. It was
every
awesome.
Day, every day this week is every day this week. Is a high of 74 and a low of 59 every day this week. It's freaking ridiculous.
I know.
Next week you're going to get up to 82 and 64, and then it goes back down to 78 and 62.
Yeah,
my heavens,
it's crazy.
I'm insanely
so
jealous. At the same time, I'm like, we already turned the heater on at the house. I know you probably have. You had to, right?
Oh yeah.
So we fired the heater, and because it was 11 degrees the other day.
Yeah.
And then we had those massive winds, and the wind chill was like 8 degrees. I'm going, it's not even November yet.
I already stopped shaving to preserve energy.
Get ready. Well, to hold are you going to get the beard going again this year?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I will. Because I stopped shaving when I went out of town. And at this point, I'm like, it's kind of long to just shave it now. I have to put batteries in my electric razor. And
I can't do the electric razor. It doesn't do the job.
Well, what you do though is even if you use a blade, you got to use the electric trimmer to cut it back because you don't want to take a blade to long whiskers.
Oh no, for sure.
Because that's torture.
Did you see that today? There were a couple things. Ryan Lunt sent the tweet to us today, and you can always hit us on Twitter. It's either Alex Keery KSL or Ethan Millard KSL, right?
So
Ryan Lunt did the right thing, and he tweeted at us and said, "We got shook up here along the Wasatch Front. Can we have an edition of Did You Feel It?" And no joke, within 10 minutes of seeing that tweet, KSL's notification, like a giant troll, was like, "Did you feel this?" And I was like, "Screw you guys. You cannot take advantage of people like that by just asking, 'Did you feel it?' Or 'Did you feel it?'" It's like the cheapest form of journalism ever. So that everybody can go, "I did." Now, I don't understand this because I live really close now to the Air Force Base. Not really close, but I mean, like, I would have never been able to hear these jets when I lived in Salt Lake. And now you can see them every day. You can see them. You can hear them. And they said it was a sonic boom that created this
rattle,
shaking across
shaking,
the Wasatch Front. I'm 8 miles from the Air Force Base. We did not get this shaking at my house. I think this is a conspiracy. This is fake news, and it's fake. I think it was something else. They're covering up something else, Ethan.
Well, I think you're right. Most likely, it's fake news. A secondary explanation, although certainly not plausible at all, is that the sonic boom happened over Salt Lake.
Okay.
But I'm sure that's not what it is. I'm sure it's probably a conspiracy.
Where would they? So the sonic boom, and then everybody in Harriman felt it? I hate this. This sounds like a lie, man. Did it get?
Well, they, but they've got.
And I don't know how sonic booms
airport.
Work. I hear the sonic booms periodically, but I don't think to myself, "Oh, they probably felt that one in there in the loins down there in Midvale." Like, that's not.
I bet the pilots are thinking that.
That was a good one, Fred.
Rise and shine.
I've seen the moment that they've hit that sonic boom when that condensation ring hits around the airplane. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty exciting moment.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's neat. Since we were in San Diego, we watched two special movies.
You can't go 2 seconds without talking about San Diego these days. Jeez.
This is the rest of my life. Fine. The rest of my life is plotting how to get back to San Diego. And that's just all it is. I don't know why people retire in places like
Florida.
Or at
least shoehorning that you've been there before into every conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. We watched two special movies set in San Diego.
Oh.
Can you guess what they are?
Set in San Diego. Top Gun?
Top Gun is one, yeah.
Okay. Ooh, I'm trying to think of a second one set in San Diego. Anchorman.
Yep,
yeah.
You got it. Anchorman, yeah.
San Diego.
You stay classy.
Woo. Hey, did you see that, speaking of, I don't know when this footage came out, but it was on Reddit, which is where I spend most of my time. I'm either in San Diego or on Reddit.
Or on Reddit,
so,
yeah.
I'm watching this, and somebody posted a video of this train. Imagine a train going along the countryside in Oslo, Norway, okay? Going through some evergreen type setting, all right? Mm-hmm. Alpine mountain type situation, even though the Alpine mountains aren't there. But
I
you
know
can
what
see
video you're talking about. I thought we talked about this.
No, we haven't talked about it.
We haven't talked about it? I watched this video. I swear we've talked about it.
I don't know.
That's all right.
What I'm saying is he's on the top of a train, and it could be an old video. People repost stuff for karma points. I don't care. I saw it for the first time, though. He's on this train. These people are filming it from the road as they follow the train at the train's pace.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise is sitting on the top of the, and like four or five other stunt people and a camera are sitting on top of this train going 60 miles an hour. And they zoom in on Tom Cruise. He sees them filming him from the road, and he just waves as he's standing on top of this freaking train going 60 miles an hour through
Can you
the
imagine?
Mountains of Norway.
That is such a magical
That's
moment.
A guy that you have to send to space.
That is such a magical moment. I saw that video. I thought, of course.
Right.
He's of those stunt men that are kind of dressed in like
tactical,
tactical gear. Yeah.
Yeah. The tactile neck
with masks on. They had masks on.
Right.
Because so you know they're the anonymous guys that he kills. They
sure,
can't have personalities
sure, sure. They
kills,
just get shot. So and they fall off the train.
That's right. And then I saw that. It was just phenomenal. No one
is it like
does.
A few years old? Am I that far behind?
No, I think it's current. I think it's current because they've been working on the most recent. I mean, it might be not like literally
right.
last week, but I think it's current because they've been working on
another
a new
Mission Impossible.
Mission
situation.
Impossible.
Yeah.
And people poo poo this, Alex. They roll their eyes at me, but no one does what Tom Cruise does. No one. There is no one else
no,
in Hollywood.
Settle down.
That does what he does.
I already heaped some praise on him about this train. Can we just leave it
at
a fun video? Because then when you start getting into then you start to sound like you're buying into the L. Ron Hubbard situation, buddy.
Well,
he had some good points.
Just because I investigated Scientology.
Show up at the audit with your checkbook, would you, Millard? Jeez.
Just because I investigated it.
I know.
Doesn't mean that I was going to go along with it for more than a few years.
Do you think in Scientology, I mean, Scientology is like the celebrity religion.
Yeah, it was for a while. I think it's kind of fallen out of
favor. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's not as novel. Because when you find out that there were actors, you know, in Utah that have a tie to, you know, the LDS church here. Mm-hmm. You start to kind of go, that's interesting, right? And then there are the rumors. But that's not as cool for Scientologists because they're like, well, yeah, that's all of the important people in Scientology are celebrities.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not – the novelty isn't as big for them with that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it kind of fades.
Ethan, what else were we going to talk about? I wanted to – something that we were going to talk about on the sports show that I had to bring up with you.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott and I were talking about this. So the Pac-12 just signed a major – deal with a restaurant chain, like it's like the official seafood provider of the Pac-12. Now they like sent out a press release about
the official. Okay, was it like
any
Red
guesses?
Lobster? Or?
It's not Red Lobster.
Well, then it's Sizzler.
It's not Sizzler because that's
who else sells seafood.
I know. So you gotta start thinking. I want you to really dig into like your youth or something maybe. Think about
it. Is it Long John Silver's?
It's not Long John Silver. It's even worse.
Is it Skipper's?
It is freaking Skipper's. The Pac-12 continues its reign of embarrassment. in this season of college football, and has signed a deal for Skipper's to be the official.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. It says this meat and seafood provider for the Pac-12.
You know what? It would be one thing.
Are there Skipper's here in Utah still? There can't be.
I don't know. I could certainly look that up.
Everybody goes, oh, I like Skipper's. And then they go, when was the last time you went? Probably 1984. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a thing that you've visited recently.
There's one in Murray?
No, I already looked that up. I already looked that one up. It is permanently closed.
It's permanently closed?
Yes, I can't find any locations in Utah. If you know for sure that there are locations in Utah, please hit us with an email, nightsideatksl.com.
Okay, Skipper's. Skipper's. Okay, so I'm at their website.
Yes.
So I'm going to find it. You know, Alex, so here's a – let me just find Skipper's products?
No.
Oh, find Skipper's.
Oh, here we go. All right.
They have products, too. They have, like, canned chowder and things like that you can buy, but I'm clicked on find
Skipper's.
Yeah,
they would have those things.
So within 25 miles of – I'll do – the KSL broadcast has 84101, right?
Yeah.
Within 25 miles –
No, just do one in, like, are there Utah locations?
Well, but that's not how they do it.
Oh, well, then they suck. I know they went out of business, though. Then.
So there are none.
No, not in Utah.
So hold on. No, none within 25 tough. Miles. So I'm going to extend it to 100-mile radius.
Hold on. I think I can do this quicker than you. Ethan, they've all been permanently closed. The Orm Skipper's permanently closed.
The Sandy Skipper's?
Sandy Skipper's permanently closed.
Huh.
Yeah, they're gone, dude.
Well,
no more
what are
locations.
We supposed to do? So, I mean, we're trying to be a good member of the
Pac-12. Yeah.
We're trying to support what they support. We're trying to support the teams.
Right. I'm assuming
we're trying
you
to bring to the league.
And you told me that you could find Skipper's products, so they can send it. They can send you cans of their chowder.
Of the chowder?
Yeah. Absolutely. There's probably one in Magna.
Chowder.
I think there's probably one in Magna. I don't know what Skipper's does well, but it's basically the poor man's Long John Silver's. And I think that sounds like a massive joke that the Pac-12 signed on with a seafood restaurant chain that nobody even knew existed still today.
You know what, though? I will say this. I mean, fried fish.
Is it seafood? Are you saying, is it seafood?
If you've got a reasonably tangy tartar sauce,
it goes down
you
well.
Can choke it down, so I don't know why you're complaining.
Oh, Millard, I've been punked this entire recording of the Nightside Project.
What do you mean you've been punked?
I've been wearing a mask the entire time in this studio by myself.
You know what, though? I'm going to recommend you for a special award.
An award, dedication. A community award?
Because just would be an extra safe. So speaking of football, though.
Yes.
I keep seeing these Twitter polls. You guys are guilty of this, too.
Oh, yeah, we do it.
Of talking about scheduling BYU in Utah.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy, our producer, likes to do that kind of stuff.
Do you think that's realistic?
I tell them what it is. I call them troll polls. They are absolutely trolling people.
And so you don't think that's any chance at all?
I mean, there's we thought that same thing back in 2015 when they didn't have them on the schedule. They ended up playing in a bowl together. But this year's weird. Utah's only playing 7 games, and it's only going to be a conference situation anyway. But you could see like a 6-1 Utah and a 9 or 10-1 BYU matching up in a bowl somewhere. ESPN would love to put those two together.
Oh, it'd be phenomenal. It would be a great matchup.
I just don't think I think that the odds are pretty low.
It'd be such a weird dynamic, though, because you'll have one team that's played half as many games as the other.
That's true, and it'll be weird because. Yeah, for that very reason. And that's
would that give BYU an edge?
I don't know. I mean, just to having minutes logged against teams that aren't very good talent.
Because they practiced all summer. We saw how much that matters, especially in the early games against Navy.
Look at you talking about football like you know. It's great.
And then they played more games. I mean, I think BYU's played more games, or at least as many games.
As many as most. Yeah, I think Army is 6-1. BYU's has played 6 games. There's a handful of teams that have played 6 games. A couple that have played 7. So.
I have to believe that the success would give them a lot of confidence.
Yeah, BYU
experience.
Next week, BYU will have finished as many games as Utah will play all season long.
Hey, can I ask you about your other troll poll?
Yes.
Because, you know, we haven't had a chance to chat. I don't know if you know this. I was in San Diego.
Oh, okay. And things are going well. Did you happen to stop by Skipper's Fish Bar?
No, I didn't know they had them. If I knew,
the seafood chain, Ethan. They only want the freshest of fresh. Come on.
Mm-hmm. And what about this business with Zach Morris going to the NFL?
Zach Morris going to the NFL. Well, listen. The funny thing is you can blame us for a lot of this stuff. 100% of this push for Zach Wilson being one of the top picks in the next NFL draft is a nationally run thing. Mm-hmm. All the local guys are just going, okay, yeah, we'll jump in on it. But this is all being pushed by the national entities. What's funny is BYU itself is actually kind of like, I don't think they're owning it enough. I really don't think they own it enough. And Scott's all like, look, dude, this is as much of a marketing situation as it is anything.
Oh, yeah.
Put yourself out there and freaking run with it. Soon as they got rumblings of Kirk Herbstreit saying, I like this kid, he's an outside Heisman contender. As soon as you had that national voice say that at the very beginning of the season, you needed to run with it and make T-shirts about it.
Oh, yeah.
And BYU's kind of – I'm going to be honest. I've been disappointed because this is their chance, but I think that it shows a little bit of the low self-esteem that BYU and BYU fans kind of has sometimes about themselves.
Yeah,
I really
that
do.
Might be the case.
I'm
that
not kidding. They kind of do this like – because we asked them maybe a few weeks ago. I asked one of the people in the sports information department, and they go, no, we don't have anything really planned for, you know, like because if a team puts together a Heisman campaign, you don't have to do it at a place like Alabama. You know what I mean? That just happens. It's built in. Or Florida. Or, you know, these big-time schools. Ohio State always has. Every year, they just have a guy at the top of the list who's always from those schools. And BYU has to market themselves. And they have to do it. They have to. And they're already on TV. And so you might as well just put yourself right in the front and center. Have the signs up all around the stadium that says Wilson for Heisman. But I do think that Satake, the coach, he doesn't want to jinx himself or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that may be it. I think self-esteem is probably a little bit. People, I don't think that any BYU fans were prepared for the success that they're having this year.
No.
They're worried they're going to wake up.
It's easy for them to kind of talk trash about Utah, but even that is not. They're stepping out from themselves a little bit. That's not even them either. They can't wear that very well either. Ethan,
but I think right there should be reason for. For Zach to go to the NFL as soon as possible.
Well, no, you got to strike while the iron's hot. He's as high as number three going in the draft already on some
because,
of these polls.
Because, I mean, it's a unique year, but people are loving him, and he's putting up big numbers. I mean, he could get injured. They could come back on the field next year and discover that the team's not half as good as they thought. And if he has a great year this year, if next year BYU goes kind of back to the same old, same old, he'll have wrecked a chance at NFL. He'll have wrecked a chance at starting the NFL.
Ethan, I got a question for you.
Let's hear it.
Do you have a Zen headline?
Yeah, man. You want to do one?
All right, roll out with the Zen headlines before. Zen headlines
You've got to get to your show.
I know. I got to get going in a second. Yeah. So in the spirit of that and wanting to maybe just sneak in a couple of fried fish from Skipper's, tell us what you have for the Zen headline. This evening, buddy.
This one was shared by Unky Ben. Unky Ben on Twitter, one of our longtime friends and listeners. A 12-year-old boy has made the discovery of his lifetime when he found a dinosaur skeleton dating back 69 million years. The amateur paleontologist was out hiking with his father in a fossil-rich part of Alberta, Canada this July when he saw bones protruding from a rock. Paleontologists have now completed the excavation. He said when he first laid eyes on the bones, he was literally speechless. I wasn't even excited. I was in so much shock. I had finally found a dinosaur. He's been interested in dinosaurs since he was six. He often goes hiking in that kind of area of Alberta, keeping his eye out. And so they called the paleontologist, and they came in and discovered this these bones. They logged the website for the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Alberta. They're devoted to the study of prehistoric life, and so they wound up finding between 30 and 50 bones, all belonging to a hadrosaur, estimated to be about 3 or 4 years old.
Look at you.
Isn't that incredible?
Wait, the dinosaur was only 3 or 4 years old when it died, or?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So they said a young Hadrosaur. Not juvenile. A baby Hadrosaur.
Juvenile. That's what juvenile they like to say in the hadrosaur. Animal world. Yeah.
Isn't that awesome, though? What a cool thing.
Yeah, it's pretty
what a cool thing to do.
Millard, thanks for the uplifting moment here, and I'm glad that you were able to even remember the name of Skippers.
Yeah.
I'm going to have quite a bit of fun with it tonight on Unrivaled. So.
Are you really?
Oh, for sure.
You know who's got good frozen chicken you can fry up real well? Trader Joe's, man. Trader Joe's got some good frozen chicken, breaded frozen chicken.
We're talking about seafood, dog.
I know.
Oh.
Frozen fish.
Oh,
I'm
frozen
sorry,
fish.
I said chicken,
okay.
Didn't I?
I didn't know fish. What you said. I was like, what?
Yeah. No, okay. I apologize.
All right, for Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keir. You can always hit us on Twitter. You can always get us on the old email as well, nightsideofkids.com. For Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keir. We'll see you next time, everybody.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.